Coming up, 79% of American workers have quiet quit. I'll tell you why. And then layoffs are about to start increasing. I'll help you through it. And you know, I'm going to coach you up. Let's go. Helping you win at work and in life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. I want you to make more money and experience more meaning. In other words, increase your income and your impact to your world. That's going to make your Mondays a whole lot better, I promise. Okay, quiet quitting. You know the phrase now. It's not new to you. It's not new to the show. The idea here is I'm just going to do the bare minimum. I'm going to do the bare minimum just to keep my job. All right, so a lot of average here, a lot of soul-sucking work going on here. I can tell you that right now. If that's your position, I got news for you. Your soul has left your body, your work soul, if you will. Somebody will technically get after me on that one. Well, Ken, I'm so, well, if your soul has left your body, you're dead. Okay, I know. But I want to talk about this, and I've got a term for this, quiet quitting, because I do believe it's an epidemic. I mean, you look at those numbers, 79% of Americans disengaged, essentially. Emotionally zombies, just going through the motions. So I've got a term for it. It's corporate COVID. That's what it is. It's a disease. It's a sickness. So what's the source? I don't know if any of you have ever seen the movie before. I always like to test myself on this. I've got Joe and Amanda, and then I've got Alex and Nathan. And so, you know, Joe is our senior team member. You're not a senior. You're not a senior citizen. You're our senior team member.
Well, I'm glad you added that last part.
I'm next, and then you got Amanda. And, of course, we're not going to talk about her age at all. That's off limits. And then we got Alex and we got Nathan. And so there's the greatest pandemic disease movie ever made was Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman and Rene Russo. Fabulous movie.
Good.
Have you seen it, Nathan or Alex? Okay, Nathan has not. Alex has. Okay, good. 3 out of 4 ain't bad. So it's a fantastic movie. And so if you haven't seen the movie, what's so amazing about it is they have an outbreak. I'm not going to give it away. I'm not going to spoiler alert it. But what they do is they localize the source. And they figure out it's in a certain town. And what they do is they cut this town off from the rest of the world. I hope that's not giving away the whole thing. I don't care. It's been out long enough that what do I care? But here's the point. What are they doing? They are trying to localize, find the source. They find the source. They cut they quarantine. I mean, severe quarantine. And then they go working for the antidote. So here's what we're going to do. 79% of Americans quiet quitting, selecting average, just doing the bare minimum. And it's an epidemic. It's a work epidemic. It's corporate COVID. So we got to get to the source. Where did COVID come from? Well, you can debate that all you want to. That's not our topic today, but I can tell you where corporate COVID comes from. You ready? It's lackluster leadership. Lackluster, poor, weak, ineffective, bad, horrible. You pick your adjective, but ineffective, lackluster leadership is the source of corporate COVID. It's that simple. That's where it starts. That's where it festers. And that is the place where we go fix it. The antidote to corporate COVID and quiet quitting and lackluster, disengaged working is effective leadership. So the source here tells us what the fix is. So it's really the environment, the work environment is what leaders are allowing to create corporate COVID. The environment. Leaders either foster the environment or allow it. In other words, a leader can create an unhealthy environment or they can come in, see it, they may adopt it, but they allow it. So either they're the source of it, they're creating it, or they are allowing a poor environment. And a poor work environment comes down to this. The people that work there aren't fulfilled. So if you get a group full of people that aren't fulfilled, guess what happens? It starts to spread to everybody else, right? I'm unfulfilled, I'm unfulfilled, I'm unfulfilled, and then it just kind of spreads like wildfire. Now let's look at the definition of fulfillment. I looked this up because I felt like this was the word. See, the antidote is leaders helping people become fulfilled. Leaders have the ability to inject fulfillment into their people, into their teams, into the entire company. So what does fulfillment mean? It means the achievement of something desired. So what do people desire from their work? I'm glad you asked me. The human desires or the human needs at work are three. The first is they desire to do something that matters to them. They want to see purpose and meaning in their job. It's got to be purposeful. It's got to be meaningful. It's what they crave. Some people won't even say it that way, but that's what they long for. If you just get out on the street, and I've done that, and you ask them, what makes a job fulfilling? People say things like, well, I'm good at it. I really enjoy doing it. I can see that I'm making a difference in these lives over here. Talent, what you do best, passion, work you love, mission, results that matter to you. So they need purpose and meaning. Secondly, people, human beings, need to be recognized for their unique contribution. And it's not this, hey, Ken, you're doing a really good job lately. No, it's, hey, Ken, that talk you gave at Smart Conference blew the room up. Incredible, blah, 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 whatever, right? Very specific. And what you're doing here is you are showing people that you see them. You are telling people that they matter. And you are doing it very specifically. And thus, you are recognizing their unique contribution. The third thing that leaders have got to do is you have to have a relationship with the people you lead. Now, you don't have to be best friends. This doesn't have to go over the top and be weird and goofy. But I use the word coach, or you could use the word mentor. Do you have leaders, a coach type relationship with your team? Let me tell you about my favorite coaches. They made a huge impact on my life. Why? Because I knew that those coaches cared about me, and I knew that they cared about me enough to correct me, and they cared about me enough to encourage me. So I'd have to be best friends. I was never best friends with any of my coaches, but I had a relationship with them. And people are craving that. So if you look at those human needs, they want to see purpose and meaning in their work. They want to be recognized for their unique contribution. And third, they want a relationship with you because the human needs, right, those three needs, watch this, they add up to people want a better life. And if your job, the environment leaders that you are creating, doesn't show them how they can have a better life, they're going to be quiet quitting you and eventually quitting you altogether. Coming up next, what's happening on the layoff landscape? I'll tell you. Hey, if you're a business owner and you don't know your numbers, I hate to say it, but you don't know your business. And when markets are shifting, it's even more important. You've got to do everything you can to set yourself up for success. You don't have to be in the dark. Over 31,000 businesses, including our team here at Ramsey, know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and inventory, so you can actually manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve your margins. Having everything in one place has saved our team hours each week since we made the switch to NetSuite. No more jumping between three or four different systems. We have quick access to what's going on in our business at all times. NetSuite is a game changer. So head to netsuite.com/Ken to get a product tour today. That's netsuite.com/Ken. helping you get unstuck and become unstoppable. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken, of the people, by the people, for the people. I am the man of the people. I inform you. I keep you up to date with what's going on. So here we go. Folks, I got to tell you, if you're not careful, the media is going to scare the ever-living crap out of you. That's what they do. That's how they get advertisers, more eyeballs. So you're hearing all kinds of things. Oh, the sky is falling. They're going to lay everybody off. Ah! You know, this is the drama that media is trying to create. And so I'm going to tell you where we are and then where I think we might be going. So here we go. USA Today reports Amazon plans to lay off 10,000 employees if it hasn't already happened this week. The New York Times also reported on it. The reported layoffs would affect about 3% of Amazon's corporate employees. Listen to this, 3%. Okay? The company has more than 1.5 million workers worldwide. Now, I am not in any way minimizing layoffs, but this is a small portion of a very, very large workforce, a workforce that I've already reported on the show because Jeff Bezos is a horrible boss, no matter what he tries to tell you, that they burn through people at an alarming rate and they're not even worried about attrition. Well, now they're laying people off. Why? Their profits are down. People are spending less. The inflation's real. So they're not shopping on Amazon as much. All right. This is not the end of the world. This is called big companies who care a lot about big profits. When those profits start to shrink, guess what they do? They start cutting expenses. Facebook has obviously laid off 11,000 employees. That's about 13% of its workforce. Now, that again is not so much an indictment of our job economy. It is more about how bad Facebook is. It just is. It is an indictment on their business strategies and all the other negative media that they've gotten. So these are somewhat isolated. The weekly jobless claims report from the Labor Department on Thursday, which is the most timely data on the economy's health as it relates to jobs, suggested that the labor market is still tight. What does that mean when we hear that? It simply means that there are more jobs available than there are people who are unemployed or filing for unemployment. I've already told you there's 7 million able-bodied men who are choosing to not work. They're not even filing for unemployment. They just ain't working. So we still have more jobs available than people are unemployed, and so that's why it's keeping the job market really hot. Actual claims for unemployment dropped for the week ending November 12th. Now, is this just tech? Because we've been talking a lot about tech layoffs. Been a lot of tech layoffs, been some real estate layoffs. You're seeing mortgage companies lay people off. But again, that is a normal cycle for mortgage companies when rates tend to go up. And then people start to slow down on refis and buying homes. And that is what is happening. So that's a normal attrition rate for these companies. We are not seeing across the board layoffs. So there's no reason to freak out. Should you be vigilant? Yes, more on that shortly. How about Disney? Disney plans a hiring freeze and layoffs to cut costs. CNBC's got an actual memo from the CEO, Bob Chapek. This is a direct statement from the memo. We are limiting headcount additions throughout through a targeted hiring freeze. Hiring for a small subset of the most critical business-driving positions will continue, but other roles are on hold. He goes on to say, as we work through this evaluation process, we will look at every avenue of operations and labor to find savings, and we do anticipate some staff reductions as a part of this review. So again, if you go deeper into that article and you look at the business by business situation, Disney streaming revenues are down big time. I'm a customer, Disney Plus, but guess what? I was telling my wife the other night, Alex, I can't remember the last time I've watched something new on Disney Plus. I probably should. I know they got some Star Wars things on there, but Thanksgiving is coming. And so when I am laying on the couch, allowing the turkey to have its way with me and take me to nappy land, I will probably watch, or at least attempt to watch, some of these new Star Wars shows. But here's what's happening. Netflix, profits down. So you're seeing these streaming services are cutting costs because customers are, in some cases, tightening their belt. In other cases, going, why am I paying $14.99 a month for this? I haven't watched it lately. I mean, this is just you know, normal attrition. Why do I go through all this? Because the sensational fear that the media likes to create to keep you watching that show that you're watching, or more importantly, to watch that stupid scrolling thing that's going on while the show happens. But by the way, you know, that came about as a result of 9/11, one of the most horrific, tragic days in American history. And it was where we were glued to the TVs, and so they were trying to get extra information out. Well, don't you know that has stayed? And so what is this all about? Well, they're trying to freak you out here with the anchor talking, and then they're also keeping your attention and freaking you out with the scroll. And so I'm just pointing out that we need to step back from that stuff and realize that the entire objective of the news is to hold our attention. And they don't hold your attention by going, all right, folks, welcome to blank, blank, blank nightly news. Things are fantastic. Things are great. Go about your business. No, they hold you. So, there's not enough evidence for anybody who is a serious person and takes their influence in the microphone or whatever bully pulpit they have seriously, like the Ken Coleman Show, to be able to predict that we're going to see massive layoffs in 2023. Nobody knows. We've also just had a national election where you've got now divided government. And so you've got a Republican-held Congress and you've got a Democrat-held White House and Senate, no matter what happens in Georgia. So you've got divided government, and I just want to put everybody at ease. You're not going to see a whole lot of major policy change that would affect your finances in the next 2 years. You're just not. You're just not. So stop looking at Washington, D.C. Stop looking at all the mainstream media and worrying. Now, what do you do if you do get laid off? Because, again, you could. And we obviously are in a season right now where there have been more layoffs, okay, than there have been in quite some time. But it doesn't mean that this is a big ripple effect. But we wrote an article at RamseySolutions.com entitled What to Do If You're Laid Off, okay? And we could also say fired, okay? Because the bottom line is you've lost your job. So I want to walk through just a couple of very practical things. First, these are negative emotions. If you've been laid off because the company's tightening up, understand, number one, this isn't personal. You are, unfortunately, a casualty of the company's balance sheet. It's not personal. If you're laid off with a large group of people or even a small group of people, and the reason is we've got to cut jobs and that's what's happening, understand it's not personal, meaning you're not a loser. You're not a failure. However, let me also say in the very same breath, it sucks and it doesn't feel good and it feels personal. It's not personal, but it feels personal. So I want to be very clear. The first thing we say in this article, and again, I'm not going to do a deep dive. You can go read it. By the way, it's What to Do If You're Laid Off. Oh, it's at KenColeman.com? Oh, very nice. It should be. What to Do If You're Laid Off, KenColeman.com. All right. First, we got to get these negative emotions out of us. And we got to get them to a professional counselor if needed, or to people in our life that are truth tellers are going to kind of help us get calm. Let's get the feelings out. So that's connecting with friends and family or a professional just to get all the negative feelings out of our system and begin the process of healing and moving forward. Second, you got to tighten the budget. Anytime we hit some uncertainty, it's just like when a big old storm comes through. I grew up on the coast of Virginia. We'd get hurricane threats and tropical storms all the time. What do? When you got a big windy storm coming like that and you're worried about storm surge, what do? People are battening down the hatches, if you will, plywood on windows, getting sandbags out. Why? Well, we're just going to be careful. We want to prepare for a storm. And so that's the same financially. Tighten the budget a little bit. Okay? Find out what benefits you have as a part of you being laid off. Maybe there's some benefits that you weren't aware of that can help you weather the storm. But here's the deal. You're not a loser. Get over it. Get busy. Keep on moving. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. If you are enjoying the show, wherever you partake, whether that's YouTube, podcast, SiriusXM, radio, we want you specifically, if you're on a platform like YouTube or Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Google Cast, wherever, we would love for you to give us a rating, give us a positive comment, and subscribe. But honestly, if you're going to pick from all four, here's the fourth one, the one that I care most about, would you share it? You know, all of these platforms give you the ability in one click, share the show. And listen, here's the reality. You know this. I know this. There are more listening, watching options than there ever have been before. And if this is adding value to you and you believe there's somebody that this show and the messaging on the show could add value to, would you please share? Because your endorsement is greater than any celebrity or any other person that I could ever wish to talk about the show. So will you do that, please? Thank you. Also, time is ticking here on our latest version of Project Management 101. The latest option is available now. If you want to apply, go to RamseySolutions.com/project. Why project management? Because 2.8 million job postings right now have project management in the listing as a required skill. For those of you process people, solutions people, you're all about efficiencies. You got communication skills, but you really are driving for results of efficiency and excellence. It's a great way to get in and begin to build a wonderful career. You can move all the way up to the C-suite with project management experience. The deadline is to apply is November 21st, so don't wait. November 21st, the deadline. Go now to RamseySolutions.com/project. That's RamseySolutions.com/project. All right, Sacramento, California. Carissa is on the line. Carissa, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Carissa, I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
Basically the same.
All right. That's good. What can I do?
I wanted to reach out. Initially, it was a question, but I believe I was able to course correct it on my own. But essentially, I found myself in a very unique situation with a new boss of mine. I do work for a large company. And within the 15 months that I was there, I had several different bosses. The retention was very low. So this new member of leadership came in, ruled like a tyrant, made not just myself, but my team very uneasy. But there were some major situations that happened that left me feeling very anxiety-ridden. I felt like it was spiraling into not just my work life, but my personal life as well. Mm. So essentially, the main thing that made me decide to leave the company was when a man started having a heart attack on the floor, and I went in to perform CPR. And this was just standard training that I received about a year ago, just in case of emergency. I know how to perform CPR as we wait for the ambulance to arrive.
Right.
So as I'm performing CPR, I'm rotating out compressions with two other men. And as I get up from performing my compressions, this member of leadership comes up and says, Carissa, when are you going to be done? I need you to get back to the floor. A member of leadership is not on the floor. I need you to get back onto the floor. And I remember looking over and being shocked. I was like, am I hearing this correctly?
Yeah, I'm curious. How did other people who were in that situation with you in earshot, how'd they react? What was their reaction?
Everyone was in panic mode. Everything happened so quickly. I do recall that there was somebody on the line calling 911 to get the ambulance. There were other people that were kind of standing around watching everything play out. So I don't know if anybody heard her initially say it, but I remember turning to her and saying, hey, like, I'm performing CPR. I'm not going anywhere. This person walks away, comes back maybe like 30 seconds later and says the same thing, still tries to pull me from the floor to get back to work. And at that point, the other guy that was helping me rotate out compressions heard, and he told her, no, she's not going anywhere. She's part of like my CPR team. We're not going anywhere until the ambulance gets here. So they were able to walk away, but it was such a traumatizing experience, not just the CPR portion. I do feel like if it was just that, I would have been able to go back to work that same day even the next day.
Yeah.
But that approach in a literal life or death situation, being asked to get back to work, just blew my mind.
I got to tell you, I'm stunned.
Yes.
I mean, we got a person whose life, we have a person's life that is hanging in the balance, and you are a part of a rotating team to help it. And it's like the fact that the first question wasn't, you know, what's going on? How can I help? You know, why couldn't she go on the floor and take your place?
Exactly.
What was she doing? What was she doing in this important moment? It's a stunning lack of awareness. It's stunning to me.
Yeah.
I
think that
I wouldn't want to work for that person either. That's, it rocked you to your core because you're like, what kind of a human being are you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It gets
so have
worse
you left?
From there.
have you left or are you still working there?
I left. So I stayed maybe like 2 weeks after that. That was the pivotal moment where I decided I'm going to take my job search seriously. There's going to be no more just applying for random places and being super picky with the next role, which to a sense, I still was. When I accepted the current offer that I received, I definitely vetted them and made sure that I went through the process because I didn't want to end up in another situation similar to this. But when that happened, I made the decision that I am applying everywhere, anywhere. Like, I'm going to network. I'm going to do what I need to do to remove myself from this situation, because all trust and respect, the little bit that was there, was lost in that moment.
Of course.
So
how can I help you? Is there a question, or you just feel like you need to get this off your chest?
I actually was hoping that I could use this opportunity to potentially help listeners that might be hopefully not in a similar situation, because that was very outlandish. But there were some tools that I used that helped me find a different career path.
Which were?
So Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Are you familiar with that model?
Of course.
Yes. So that's something that I referred back to pretty heavily, because I had to look deep inside and ask myself, like, how am I feeling and how am I going to get myself out of this situation? And the only way you could do that is when you have that self-realization.
Right.
So when I referred back to that model, I was like, wow, I feel like my basic needs are, one, not being met, but almost being threatened in this environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for people that like aren't familiar, there's five layers to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and they're broken down into subcategories. So the bottom two is the physiological needs, which is food, water, warmth, and rest.
Sure.
Safety needs, which is security and safety, which is roof over your head. Yeah. You have a steady flow of income.
Carissa, I love your passion, but I don't have time for you to teach on the call because we're going to run out of time in about 30 seconds.
Okay.
I love your passion. The fact is you went out and you realized, hey, I can't do this anymore because all trust had been broken. And I think the encouragement that I want the audience to hear from your situation is when something horrific happens like that on a human level and all respect is lost, that's really what happened. There probably were several other things, but in that moment, whatever modicum of respect you still had for that leader was completely severed, because you're like, I'm trying to save the life of a coworker, and all you care about is, am I going to get back to work? And what you have to understand is, and Carissa understood it, and the rest of you have to understand, there's no recovering that. It just, that right there is so severe of a break of trust, you got to move on. Good stuff. Thank you, Carissa, for calling, and glad you're in a better place. Thanks for encouraging our audience. Hey, for the rest of you, you matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.